Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
ESPN 97.5.
KFNC 97.9 HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Ducky McSweeney's Pub. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Broadcasting live from Ducky McSweeney's. In the Galleria area, happy to have you with us. They already scored a goal. The Germans are already on the board.
Wow.
My goodness.
That was fast.
And the Ecuadorian is crying. Sheesh. Yeah, Germany, Ecuador going on now. Ivory Coast and Curacao? They're going on right now.
No idea.
Curacao.
Whatever. Sweats of the day. We're on some sweats of the day.
Yeah, what are we on?
We're on Germany minus one.
Okay.
Good start
Joe,
there.
Joe, both and I looked at each other like, do we have a
Brian, bit? You can't say a word. You didn't respond at all.
I know.
Big League Brian.
Brian's doing 12-3.
I wasn't blaming
Big League Brian.
I wasn't blaming
you.
I'm just saying we didn't
have an
know.
Opinion.
Didn't add a single
Brian,
text
Brian, used
to
3 hours of radio. Let us talk for a little bit.
Gladly.
Yeah, you didn't respond at all. You have zero leg to stand on.
Just ghosted us.
I know. Big League Brian over
here.
Big League.
I responded to one thing in the chat.
Because you were added. And it took you an hour.
It
took
true.
You after I already ate. Germany's minus one. We're on Germany minus one.
Okay.
At plus 105. We're on Germany, Ecuador at over three at plus 105. We're on the Kaka Ivory Coast to go under three. That one's at plus 125, and we're on the A's money line today at plus 118.
I wasn't sure if we took that one or not.
So our sweats of the day, all there. Yesterday, we were up just over 3.5 units.
Nice.
Yeah, on the week, we are up exactly 3.5 units, and on the year, we're up over just 2.25 of a unit.
That's good.
So having a good week, guys. Having a good week, guys. Somebody's trying to argue with me on Twitter that RBI is not an acronym.
Man, that started already? That was faster than Germany scoring.
That's not an acronym?
Yeah.
What's their argument?
That it's not an acronym. They just said it's not an acronym.
They're saying it's just not?
Yes, but RBI is not an acronym. It's initialism. Acronyms form new words. No, they don't. Sonar, laser, NASA. The letters are not pronounced individually, so no S at the end. I don't know what he's saying.
How did this come up? Did you have another RBI's take?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. I was about to say that. Otherwise, that felt really
Codify. Random. Codify said Dansby Swansea, RBI, blah, 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 blah. And I just put RBI's asterisk.
Yeah.
And that usually ticks people off.
It does. It triggers people in a big way.
But lots to get to today. We'll be watching these football matches going on now. We'll talk a little bit Texans later, a little bit NFL later. Rockets made a draft pick yesterday. They also signed a dude that I kind of like. Entered the draft last night with 2 second-round draft picks. They leave the draft with one of them, but then also leave the draft with two guys, new Houston Rockets, one on a two-way deal, and then the other guy that they drafted with the first pick of the second round, in fact. We'll get to that a little bit later. But we'll begin with the Astros. Astros, things are going good for the Astros. Four straight series wins now. The Mariners lost earlier today. So the Astros literally right now are 2 games back in the American League West and 1 game back in the wild card. So they're very much chasing the fight.
Yeah, they're like it feels like for the first time this season they're actually chasing a fight. 4 straight series wins. They're playing good baseball overall, but like they're also taking advantage of some help from other teams. I mean, last night's win's kind of comical. Or I guess yesterday afternoon's win is kind of comical in a lot of ways. Why are you throwing a third base there?
I think it was a called play.
Really?
So a lot of people are blaming Hoffman. I think it was a called play, which is like, I mean, it's kind of a time that you would call that play. Now, I don't love where in the Astros were in the order to call that play, but it's a tie game late, one out.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to steal an out in what is a very high RBI likelihood situation.
Sure.
I think that it was a called play, and Yakimoto, like,
didn't
pick it up.
Okay.
You see Hoffman immediately look at his catcher, like, I think Yakimoto missed a sign.
Yeah, because he's clearly not looking at the ball at all. He has eyes forward. And even then, like, he's not on the bag. So it's a strange moment. But
Akimoto, not Yakimoto.
You're close. Regardless, it gave the Astros a nice W.
For sure.
Like, and they might have got the win anyways if that play doesn't happen. You have, what, one out in the inning. Loperfido's on third. Maybe you get a sack fly and bring him in. But you take what you can take right now, and that's more W's for the Astros. They're playing much better baseball overall.
Yeah. No, that was a good W for the Astros. That was really, really nice. I would not have guessed that in a game that Trey Yesavage started and Mike Burrows started, that Mike Burrows would come out. Well, he didn't get the win, but the Astros would come out as victors in that matchup. He pitched really, really good yesterday.
He's
in a weird spot because, he has options left. He hasn't pitched that good. Javier's coming back soon. He got skipped in the rotation. What is his status as an Astro whenever you have some of these guys coming back? Javier soon. Lance McKellar's pitched a rehab today. What do you do with him? Is he going to the bullpen? Is he going to AAA? The timing for him to pitch really, really good was last night, and he pitched really, really good.
Yeah, he totally complicated everything that we've been discussing, especially my thoughts on Burrows. For about 2.5 weeks now, is send him down. When everyone starts to get healthy, if you happen to stay healthy as a unit, as a rotation, he goes down. It solves some of your just math problems that you have. That start last night, it complicates it. It was plenty good. Now, the Blue Jays' offense has not been particularly good this season. I think Vlad Jr. still has less than 5 home runs in the calendar year. But it showed that he can belong at times. It's just, can he find consistency at some point? But yesterday, it goes a long way in him keeping his spot on the roster, and it overly complicates it, I guess in a good way, at least for one day, for what Dana Brown has to do next.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know what they're going to do now. Like, in a weird way, it might have been better just to make things more simple if he was bad. But being that good,
sure.
Like, how do you keep him? How do you put him in the bullpen now? How do you put him in AAA now after one start? Unless you just don't believe in his stuff. But they traded for him, so he's also going to have, some leeway with that as well.
I don't think he's going to be bumped.
You think he's in?
I think while they're in a 6-man, he's guaranteed to be. Oh, dang. Ecuador leveled the match against Germany already?
Oh, 8 minutes in, we got 2 goals. We got 1 goal in the Ivory Coast game.
Well, that's all right for our over in Germany-Ecuador. Somebody's got a vuvuzela in here.
It's awesome.
That's really loud. I don't think I want it.
I
want a vuvuzela?
Right into the microphone.
Come out and Ducky McSweeney's going to hang out with a vuvuzela. It's a good spot. I don't know how you kick him out of the rotation. Like, if you're going to go to a 6-man rotation, I don't know how he's not in it. Because I think he deserves to be in it more than Javier, although Javier is going to get a runway.
Yep.
And I think he deserves to be in it more than Gateway Tang. Dong.
Even though Tung's last start was also very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the easier solution, right? Is he goes back into the bullpen, and then Nate Pearson, RIP, to his Astros career at that point. That's the easiest thing the Astros can do right now is do that. Is just say, hey, Dung, you're going back to the bullpen. Pearson, you're off the roster. And that keeps Burrows and Javier on it. And then the next time it gets complicated is then when McCullers is actually available to return and figuring that out in – I don't know, maybe 2 weeks at this point. Like, and maybe you just keep going 6-man rotation until at least the All-Star break, which, like, it's not that far away. I think it's the, like, July 13th.
Yeah, it's that week.
Is that week. So you can find a way to where if you just go 6-man until then, even with off days more mixed in, you just go 6-man rotation. It keeps Burrows in. It gives him a runway to perform better. It puts Imai back on his schedule that he likes more. It probably is good for everyone besides Hunter Brown, honestly. And even then, for Hunter Brown coming off an injury, it's probably not bad for him.
I think they're going to piggyback Javier and Tang once they go to a 5-man. Maybe even a 6-man, though, because you have Hunter Brown, you have Arrigetti, you have Lambert.
Yep.
You have Imai.
Yep.
So then you have, like, 3 dudes for 1 spot or 3 dudes for 2 spots, depending if you go 5 or 6-man.
I mean, a piggyback makes a ton of sense, especially because Javier doesn't give you length ever.
No. I mean, I don't have any faith in Javier. Like, he has not shown anything post-Tommy John surgery. Like, and this goes back to last year. Like, last year he wasn't good. before the injury this year, he wasn't good. His spring training Statcast stuff wasn't good.
Yeah.
His minor league, his rehab assignment stuff, production's been bad. Statcast has been bad. Like, I think there's a real chance they DFA Christian Javier at some point this season. Not now. He will get an opportunity to, like, pitch because he's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I do think he'll get an opportunity to, like, win a job. But I think if he pitches really bad three or four outings and the Astros stay healthy, which, you know, almost never happens, especially for the pitching side of things, I think there's a chance they DFA him.
I think it makes sense.
I think he's pitching for his job his next three or four starts.
Yeah. Would you rather, in a perfect world, if you were Dana Brown and Joe Espada, would you have Kiway start those, that piggyback?
Probably not.
You'd have Javier start it?
Probably. Just because Kiway's a little bit more, like, used to pitching out of the bullpen.
But we've seen Javier have some success.
4 years ago.
It's been a while.
Five years ago.
Yeah. And maybe he can ramp up a little bit faster than Javier would in that situation. So if it's bad for Javier in the second inning, you can bail out of that quicker.
Yeah.
In that situation. Because I think in terms of winning a baseball game, I'd rather have Kiway start the game. Logically, it probably makes sense more to have Javier start the game and have Kiway coming after.
I think it does.
But I'd rather Kiway just have it and Javier be elsewhere.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because they have, I mean, Lance McCullers is going to come back at some point, you think.
Yep.
Rennell Blanco is going to come back at some point, you think. Hayden Wesneski, who does have options, I think he's going to be healthy enough to pitch at some point soon. Not soon, but Dana Brown said August for him, like early August. So, like, guys are going to come back. A lot of their relievers don't have options. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting how they handle this. But the bullpen was very good in last night's game. Okert doing his thing. Josh Hader, again, a dominant outing. I like how the game ended with Yiner Diaz. Like, hey, let's challenge this for the sake of challenging it. Oh, it's a strike.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yeah.
Hader didn't think it was a strike either. Like, he immediately turned back to the mound. I think you could even see Hader mouth to Yiner whenever they went to the handshake line. I didn't think that was a strike. It looked like he mouthed to Yiner.
We've had a couple of those. I think we've had at least one of those other ones this year from Hader, where it's like, I feel like he's adjusting to the ABS, where he's like, I don't know, and then it's gone in his favor. That's the right time to use it. Why not?
No, absolutely.
Like that's the it's a million times better than the guys who challenge things in the first inning, which I think is the most insane thing we're seeing from baseball players this season. But why not challenge it? Even if you're wrong, what does it matter at that point? But the bullpen's good. Like, they find a way to hold on and win these games. Like, that's all you can do. It's just keep grinding and finding a way. And the Astros are an interesting part of their schedule where, like, it's still pretty easy. You know, the Tigers are not that good of a baseball
team.
And
you don't get Scooble.
Which is crazy that you're going to see him, what, seven times? Or the Tigers six or seven times in a week and a half, and you're not going to get Scooble once?
Yeah.
Luck of the draw there.
Yeah.
You got the Twins after that. They're not overly good right now. So it's like, it's one of those things for me where, I don't know, I feel pretty good about the Astros right now.
Yeah.
Look, where they're at? Playoffs?
Yeah. Why not?
Here we go. Playoff team, Houston Astros.
Why not playoffs?
They're back.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Lots to get to today. We'll get to the good and bad from the Rockets draft last night. NFL stuff. We'll do some Willabits. We'll do a lot of stuff today. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. You can watch along on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, TikTok, ESPN975, Twitter as well at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio on Twitter. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Brandon. We are giving away a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. We pull the name out of the hat at 5:30. So you got to get here, register to win, and you don't have to be present in order to win, but you got to be here to register to win, and then we're going to pull out the name at 5:30. Perhaps it is you. Maybe it'll be your lucky day, and you can get some great leather in your life. When we come back, more on the Astros game from yesterday. Let's talk about the offense a little bit. Maybe some help from unexpected places yesterday. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe live from Ducky McSweeney's on ESPN 97.5.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission: making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. Right now on their website, dmautoleasing.com, you can see their full list of inventory, new and used vehicles that you can lease right now. Once you choose your vehicle, you can get that thing within 24 to 72 hours. They'll bring it right to you, your home, your office. Even if you're out at lunch right here, a place like Ducky McSweeney's, they'll bring you the car. They'll take your trade-in as well. You'll work with a veteran sales agent who on average has been there for 10-plus years, and they'll get you that new vehicle and walk you through everything from start to finish. Check them out right now, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Ducky McSweeney's Pub. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Welcome back to Ducky McSweeney's. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. I wear my soccer scarf. It says Huntington Bank Bad Boy on mine. Specifically.
It does.
See camera?
Bad Boy.
It says
boy.
Huntington
that,
Bank Bad Boy
accurate?
Camera.
Camera's off.
We've just been banned from YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Naughty, naughty Jeremy and Joe. We've been banned from YouTube. We violated third-party audio or video content.
I hope not.
We were accidentally we were recording us, which we always do, but the TV was in the background, and I think FIFA just got us.
I think they might have.
We got by FIFA. You know, that's why they call me the Huntington Bank bad boy, because sometimes I try to stream illegally.
If that
they
happens.
Got me. They got me.
If
that's exactly
true.
How you got that, man.
I'm
gonna
need like red-handed.
I'm going to need like 100 more beers today if that happens.
I mean, I'm sure it's just like, yeah. Hey, our bad.
I mean, you'd want the 100 beers anyway.
Well, that's why I said 100 more.
Oh, okay. All right, fair.
Yeah. So there is that. Astros begin a three-game series. Actually, is it a four-game series? I don't know. But they begin a series against Detroit today. Offense yesterday, look, Trey Savage is a really good pitcher. You're not going to score a bunch of runs off Trey Savage. But the Astros scratch in the first. Pena batting third.
I like that.
Isaac Paredes driving him in. You get the Jory Loperfido triple later. We talked about the throwing error over to third base. I think it was a called play, and Okamoto just wasn't paying attention. You get some insurance late, which is always good because insurance is fun. What a great day at the plate. But anytime you can win a game with Trey Savage against you, I feel like you have to be pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, you only had four hits, but you had eight walks in the game. I mean, that's the third straight game that Isak Paredes has given the Astros a 1-0 lead. His bat turnaround, I think, has been the most important development of the Astros recently, especially because of the opposite of what we've seen with Christian Walker. Like, Paredes just looking like he's finding his swing more consistently is a huge positive. But you got to find a way to get it however you can. Like, and Joey Loperfido over the last 2 days – massive. I mean, that home run, then the triple. I guess it's fair to say the Astros won the trade.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
Okay.
I have no issue. I have no issue with that. I have no issue with them winning the trade. Like, Joey Loperfido has a better WAR than Jesus Sanchez.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus Sanchez had a better offensive season
than
Joey Loperfido, but he's also making a lot more money, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. Loperfido has years of club control.
Yeah.
So I think that Dan was on the right side of the trade.
Yeah, and it's you want to beat the former team. Like, they trade for you, then they trade you away. And what he's done the last 2 days has been massive for the Astros, just giving them, that home run and then the triple. And I thought that ball was gone. It was pretty close.
Remember when Joey Loperfido came up and everybody was like, man, this guy's going to hit 30 home runs and strike out 250 times and beat Joey Gallo?
I think he had like 15-some home runs in a month. In Sugar Land?
Yeah.
Before he came up. And I think he was playing on the West Coast a little bit.
He was leading professional baseball.
Yeah.
It was like 13 home runs in April or something.
Yeah,
like
he was crushing the baseball. We've never really seen that power in the bigs. Like, this series is probably the closest we've ever seen to it from him.
No, I think that he kind of reinvented his swing to, like, avoid strikeout more.
Yeah.
And he lost power because of it. So I like that he's starting to introduce more power to his game. Because, look. I like a corner outfielder to have a little bit of pop, a little bit of power. And I think that's his profile. So if he can, like, mix the two, I think he's got a chance to be a helpful piece to this team. I mean, 722 OPS, he's probably the best corner outfielder they have offensively, if we don't count Jordan.
Is that higher than Cam's?
Probably.
I would still obviously take Cam.
It's a low bar, but maybe.
Yeah, it's a low bar. Like,
yeah,
it's not
Cam's
like
at 662.
Wow.
Like, Loperfido offensively
that's
is.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Loperfido's got a 102 OPS plus. It's like,
okay.
I think he's the only, if we're not counting Jordan, the only outfielder on this team that has an OPS plus north of 100.
Wow.
So he should probably play more.
He probably should is what that means. Or maybe they're using him correctly by not overly exposing him.
Well, I mean, they also kept him in the minors, though, when they brought up Lamonte Wade. Not to say I dislike Lamonte Wade,
yeah.
Lamont Wade, because I do like Lamont Wade. I just thought it was rare that they were prioritizing Wade over Loperfido. I thought that was weird. It wasn't anti-Wade, because I think that Wade can help this team. You know, bench guy, start him against some right-handed pitching. I just don't think it should be at the expense of Loperfido.
Sure.
That was my content. That was my beef. And this is why, because I think Loperfido has a chance to be an average to a slightly above average offensive player.
Yeah.
And I think that he needs power in order to accomplish that. And we're like last two games, we're seeing the power a little bit, which is what I want to see. Homer two games ago and then had the triple off the wall yesterday. Do you have something?
No, I was reading the email.
All right.
Sorry.
713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Robert, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's good, Robert?
Hey, brother. You know what? I will tell you, I'm having more fun watching the Astros this season than I definitely did last season. But, you know, when it comes down to guys like Joey Loperfido, he's basically what we expect to get from Jake Myers. Provide pretty decent, next to elite defense in the outfield, be a positive clubhouse guy, and be a support system to be able to pick up the offense whenever our hitters aren't hitting. You know, Altuve, Yordan, they didn't have great games last night. Who did? Our support staff, the Turning League Medicine. If we can get that play 3 days a week out of them,
yeah.
I would take that every single season.
No, that's a great call. It just makes the lineup deeper. And
yeah.
this has been the issue with this team really this year, is it feels very stars and scrubby, right? Like the top of the order you feel pretty good about, whatever combination they're in, Pena, Yordan, you know, Altuve's coming around lately, actually. Isak, Walker got off to a hot start. It's been slumping lately. Maybe the off day will get them going. So, like, you feel pretty good about the top five.
Absolutely.
The problem is the bottom four might be the worst bottom four in baseball.
It's pretty
so you try to lengthen it. You try to deepen it. And Joey Loperfido, if he's north of a 100 OPS plus, lengthens it. Wade, if he's, you know, north of 100, only against righties, lengthens it. So that's where the Astros can, I think, not that they're going to take off and, like, soar and, like, run away with anything, but I think that's how the Astros can become a more complete team, a better team, you know, a team that you're taking more seriously, is if they can lengthen the lineup and you know, have some productivity from the bottom, because their productivity at the bottom has been non-existent.
Who's the most important player for that? Is it Cam Smith?
I mean,
to lengthen it?
Like, Cam might, maybe.
Yeah.
Cam might be that, because he's going to play every day because his defense is so good, which great defensive play yesterday.
That play was awesome.
Robbing George Springer. I don't know what the runner at second was doing. Arias was... What a terrible base running mistake. Like, he was even looking at the play, you know? Like, it wasn't an instance where, like,
and
okay, I think
back.
This ball's on the off the wall, I'm going to score. He literally watched the entire play develop, and he just didn't see the baseball.
Yeah.
Probably because it was in Cam Smith's glove. So that was weird. Got a break there. But a great play by Cam Smith to make the catch. So he's going to play every day. So that would help a lot. But I think Joey Loperfido should play most days. And if you don't want to play him against lefties, that's fine. I understand. You want to play the matchups, that sort of thing. But it's not like there's anybody behind him that's, like, just stealing playing time away from him.
No. They're all pretty equal right now. Like,
I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think Loperfido is kind of, and maybe it's recent, but I think Loperfido has set himself higher than those guys.
Than Matthews and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if you want to play matchups, lefty-righty thing,
yeah.
Okay, I can listen to that. But I don't think that Joey Loperfido, with what the club currently has, should ever sit against a right-handed pitcher.
No, I also – yeah, I mean, and that's what you're going to face the majority of the time. So, you know, he might play 5 days a week if it's going to be against all the righties, which I'm fine with. Like, I have no problem if that's the Astros' decision they try to take. I'm good with Joey Loperfido playing almost every day in left field. To me right now, the way he's playing is against lefties, you don't need him out there. And then if you want to get Yordan Alvarez reps in left field, he doesn't have to play in left either. If he starts to play anywhere to the level that he's been at recently, where it's been much improved since coming off the IL and coming back up to the bigs, then Yordan can just be the DH most days and just see what you get with Loperfido. Because that's the thing with this season, is even though they're back in the hunt, they're actually chasing the fight for the first time, there's still some long-term questions of just, like, what are these guys? What is Bryce Matthews? What is Joe Loperfido? What are their roles in the Houston Astros organization beyond 2026? I'd love to give some of these guys a runway to show it.
I'm over that.
Got.
No, not me. No.
Really?
No. Your second half of the season, you're two games out of the division, you're one game out of the wild card. I don't need runways. I need to win games.
But I don't think any of those guys are any different. So, like, giving, to me, Loperfido a two-week stretch where he's going to play against every single righty and be in left field, even if he struggles, I'm okay with it. Because, to me, it's no different than Bryce Matthews. Right?
Well, like, I think there's a massive difference there.
You think Bryce is that much less than Loperfido right now?
Against right-handed pitching, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Bryce Matthews should be on this team.
That's fair, and he probably won't be. I don't know what Lamonte Wade's injury status is.
I think he's close to a rehab.
So then that would probably be the Bryce move, I would guess, at that point. But who knows with the Astros? Like you said earlier, they kept Loperfido down earlier.
For Wade. So,
like, they might not like Loperfido that much, honestly.
That's I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. I think it was more – I don't know. I think it was more of a case like, hey, we can get a veteran that we like on our team. This is a guy who's coming off an injury, blah, 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 blah. But,
and Loperfido just happens to be the guy that has to stay down.
He's got options. Maybe they didn't love where his swing was quite yet.
Yeah.
Coming off of
very
the,
possible.
You know, he missed, what, like 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah,
so,
like, that
I mean,
right.
It could have been that. But I think you have to play him every day against right-handed pitching. To me, you're not tinkering anymore. To me, you're not, you know, we need to see what this guy can give us. No, you're in the second half of the season. You played around in the first half of the season, dug yourself a big hole. You've closed the gap to 2 in the division, 1 in the wild card. It's not, okay, we need to see what this guy can give us anymore. It's we need to win games now, and we need to run out a lineup every single day that gives us the best chance to win. And this isn't like rest guys. I believe in resting guys. So, like, those are the opportunities for the bench guys to get some reps is whenever those guys are getting off days. So I'm over that. I'm over the, okay, let's see what Bryce can give us today. No. Run out the best lineup that gives you the best chance to win. Within reason, don't run anybody to the ground, which lineup is out today. It's a little different than it was yesterday.
Okay.
Pena's back in the leadoff spot. Jordan's batting second, DHing. Isak batting third, playing third. So they flipped Isak and Walker, who's in the cleanup spot. Altuve in the 5-hole. Loperfido left field, 6-hole. Cam Smith right field, 7-hole. Taylor Trammell, 8-hole, center field. And then Vasquez gets a start today for Emi.
Okay.
So there's your 9 today. So
I like Loperfido. That.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think that Yiner probably you can't run Yiner into the ground at catcher, but remember all these people, Vasquez needs to be the primary catcher. I disagree. Yiner lengthens this lineup. Yiner's offensive potential is not bad, and he should be in the lineup 60% of the games.
I think it depends on what you value the most with Yiner. Is do you value the lengthening the lineup or what it seems like he helps with the pitching staff? Like last night's game is a great example of this. That was it there in the 9th inning when there was a ball that got past him? Maybe it was the 8th inning?
I mean, you could also say that he helped Burrows pitch one of the best games pitched all year.
That's true. But I think the sample size, it's just what do you believe? Like, and what do the Astros believe? Do they believe that that's a Christian Vasquez result of the pitching has been better since, you know, Vasquez was the primary catcher and Yiner was hurt? Or was that just the pitchers being better overall, and it's not necessarily correlated to Yiner not being on the team? Fans can have opinions on it. You know, I can think it's because of Vasquez. Their analytics might just tell a totally different story than that. But, like, yeah, you can't run him to the ground. But I think it's like a 4-3 split if you played 7 games in a week. If you didn't have an off day. Like, 4 for Yiner, probably Vasquez for 3. That's probably where I'd be at right now.
I'm more of a 4-2.
Okay.
More of a 4-2. And if you wanted to go, if you're going 6-man, you could easily do it. Yiner's got 4 guys. Vasquez has 2 guys.
Yeah.
Small sample. Yiner's only played in 6 games since coming off the injured list. It's only 23 plate appearances. Small sample. But Yiner is slashing .286 with a .348 on base and a .476 slugging since coming off the injured list.
And a handful of walks.
Does Yiner stink? With behind the dish. I don't like Yiner behind the dish. I'm not a huge Yiner receiver. But I think Yiner's potential, and he hasn't always lived to this potential, especially as an offensive player, is far greater than what Christian Vasquez gives you. Vasquez,
solid pro,
love him as a backup. But this whole, like, Vasquez should be the everyday catcher, I think is quite frankly ridiculous. And we're forgetting that Yiner Diaz, in 2 of his 3 seasons, has hit 20 or more home runs. The one season that Yiner Diaz didn't hit 20 home runs, he hit 16, had a .299 average. Like, there are a lot of cons to Yiner Diaz's game. Not a great receiver, swings at everything, doesn't draw walks, grounds into a lot of double plays, but a lot of times we dislike so many cons that we forget about the pros or we overlook the pros. Yiner still can give you 20 home runs from the backstop position, which is hard to find.
Yeah.
Yiner Diaz can still flirt with a .300 batting average, which is hard to find, especially from a catcher. So his offensive potential, I think, is worthy enough for him to play more than Christian Vasquez.
Yeah, for me,
and he lengthens this lineup. People don't want to say that.
The way he's playing right now, early on, like you said, small sample size. Because I was very pro play Vasquez more. If Yiner can do something similar to this, the numbers that he's producing right now, he's definitely your primary catcher. It's not even a debate at that point. It's the offense was so poor earlier in the season, and the defense was on top of it, then I'd rather have just a good defensive catcher. If they're both going to be equally bad in offense, I'll take the guy who can catch better. If Yiner's offense is elevating, I think that is more of a priority at this point in the season for the Astros. He's just got to keep doing it, which I think he can.
He's capable.
I've always been like, I've been more like, if you can trade him, because I don't think he's your long-term guy. But while he's on this roster, he's probably your best option, especially when things are going right.
I think you need to trade him whenever his value's high. You can't trade him whenever he stinks. You know, people always want to do that.
And they want the return of when he's at
values,
his best.
Yeah.
But they want to do that when he stinks.
Everybody wanted to trade Yordan Alvarez in the offseason because he couldn't stay healthy when his value's at his lowest.
Yeah.
Now he's the greatest hitter on the planet, and people are insulted you even bring it up.
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Which, by the way, buy Wendy stock and hold. All right, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from Ducky McSweeney's on ESPN 97.5. Come hang out with us. Do you feel like the Astros can go 51 wins and 29 losses the rest of the season? No. I don't, but I don't think they don't need to do that. They don't need to do that. All right, does Josh Hader fall more in the Pena or Walker trade category? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Ducky McSweeney's Pub. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Ducky McSweeney's is awesome. Everybody's watching the football. Ecuador, Germany, 1-1, all square. Ivory Coast, they lead Kukakoa, 1-0 in the 39th minute. We got some action going on this. What's the A's game look like? Oh, 0-0 in the middle of the fourth inning.
I think it's like 4-0.
We need the A's to win that game. But, you know,
that sigh suggested they were down 7-0 already.
Yeah, it did.
That's the way I read
it. I was like, oh, no.
I read Jeremy's reaction as we're toast.
We were 4-1 yesterday. Angels came from behind, won an extra innings.
Wow, we had written that one off.
I didn't look until this morning either. Yeah,
cool. I saw one of the win percentage graphics from that game last night.
They were not good.
It was a big peak and a big drop for last night's game.
It's kind of like my emotions watching the Astros against the Blue Jays in the second game of the series.
Yeah,
I was ready to trade everybody.
Every time Christian Walker would strike out with runners on base, Jeremy was ready to sell everybody.
They're up 4-0. They're up 4-0, blew the game. Had no Nate Pearson's throwing the ball into right field on a routine tapper back to the plate.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
He gone.
You think so? So who's going with Javier coming back if there's not an injury? Brian Abreu's back today, by the way.
Colton Gordon's back down.
Colton Gordon, who you hardly knew him.
Yeah.
Hardly knew him.
Did our favorite Astros insider break that news as well?
Oh, El Guapamole?
Yeah.
El Guapamole broke the news yesterday.
I saw that yesterday.
El Guapamole had it first. Junkie, by the way. Junkie, we have feet on the ground.
Yeah, we do.
And in the air, too.
El Guapamole's the new Mark Berman.
Yeah. I think it's Pearson.
I think it's Blue Ball.
Oh.
I think it's one of those two.
Yeah.
Honestly,
okay, so if everyone comes back, the answer is Blue Ball and Pearson.
Well, we go one at a time.
And
go
Javier.
One at a time. I think McCullers might be 30 days, though, because you get 30 days for a pitcher on a rehab, and there's no rush to call it McCullers.
Honestly, I don't think Nate Pearson's good, so I think it should be Nate Pearson.
I don't think so either, but it's a Dana Brown crush, you know?
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to let a crush go. You got to let her walk away.
All right. I wouldn't be mad about it. I don't like Pearson either. And look, There's
just trade him to the Cubs.
He doesn't make – well, why would anybody trade him?
Why would you want him?
I don't. But they took Jaden Murray's bum ass.
That's true. So they did.
They also made a trade
Thank
for
you,
that
Joe.
Peterson
David,
guy.
Yeah, David
He's
Peterson.
He's got an ERA
yeah.
like a six, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, buy low.
Desperate times.
I think it's going to be blue ball initially.
Okay.
Just to keep an arm in the system. Because, I mean, Pearson, I think somebody would claim Pearson, actually.
And that logically.
He's pretty cheap.
Yeah, like,
that,
logically, yours makes sense. I just, again, when we're talking about chasing the fight, trying to make the playoffs.
Right, but they're not using, I mean, blue ball or Pearson both aren't really leverage guys.
No, but I just like blue ball more.
Blue ball does give you length when a starter has to leave the game early. But if Tang's moving to the pen, then he becomes that guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like blue ball more, too. I just don't think it's... I think the difference between Pearson and blue ball in terms of wins and losses because of their role is like
minuscule.
I think it's I don't even think it's minuscule. I think it's a net zero.
Okay.
I think it's neutral.
Yeah. I mean, I would prefer Pearson, but if it's blue ball, I'm not going to be like up in arms about it because you're right. It's a move that has to make sense. I mean, that will make sense. And then the other one's gone without an injury when the other pitcher comes back. Whenever that is.
Junkie says the A's will win with a brace. Hopefully you're right. Zach says, I don't know if I would take your advice about Wendy. She's had multiple locations closed down in Pearland, especially the old school one that's been around since the 90s. Yeah, but all the like the young tech heads, like the Roaring Kitties of the world,
okay. They're
all like, yeah, Wendy's. It's going to be like the new GameStop.
So that means they're all going to go away about 4 years from now.
Yeah, but I'm not going to hold for 4 years.
Yeah, you can make some money in the short term.
I'm going to hold for like 4 months.
Because all the GameStops are gone.
Yeah.
That I knew about and would drive by on a fairly regular basis, all gone.
There's like one by my house.
Roaring Kitty made like $1 billion on that, though.
That's crazy.
I know.
It's a movie, right?
Yeah.
They made it a movie.
Have you guys watched that yet?
Not yet. I've been meaning to.
I've seen the trailer. It looks okay, but.
He looks like Sean Mapes.
Stupid Money? I think that's the name
Sounds
of it.
Sounds
right.
That
is the name of it.
Yeah. I think it's Stupid Money.
Yep. I hate this topic, Joe.
What topic?
The topic you put in the rundown.
Which one's next?
Does Josh Hader fall more in the Pena or Walker trade category?
What don't you like about it?
I'll tell you next.
Okay.
713-780-3776.
Oh,
Jeremy
geez.
And Joe broadcasting live from Ducky McSweeney's on ESPN at 97.5. We're watching our football. A lot of great places in Houston to watch soccer. And there's so many great spots to watch the World Cup in our great city. Because we are one of those cities. We are one of the soccer capitals of the world. But a spot for you to watch your football is the Federal American Grill downtown location at 1221 McKinney Street. Catch the excitement of the soccer tournament at Federal American Grill's downtown location. Live music daily starting at 5 o'clock. 7 100-inch TV screens. Live streams of all the matches. You're going to get a free souvenir cup, free welcome drink, and food for purchase, $10 cover. Now, reservations are required. You can go reserve at thefederalgrill.com. And get this, the VIP experience for all you VIP. VIP experience available for $85 a person. That's pretty affordable for VIP, which includes access to a private patio, private TVs, dedicated server for their VIP section, free welcome cocktail, three-course prefix menu, free souvenir cup, free Don Julio 1942 mini bottle. What a deal for you VIP. Also, the Summer Sunset Social Hour going on at all six of their Houston area locations, Shepherd, Hedwig Village, Katy, The Woodlands, Downtown, River Oaks as well, and they're extending their social hour this summer. Summer Sunset Social Hour is 3 p.m. until sunset all summer long. It's hot in the summer. We need more time to drink. And the Federal American Grill is doing just that. 3 until sunset all summer long, all of their locations. You're going to enjoy $10 appetizers. And all the appetizers there are amazing, delicious. I've never had a bad bite at Federal American Grill. But you're also going to get your $7 cocktails, wines, $5 beers. You're going to love it. At Summer Sunset Social Hour, the vibes are great. You can drink longer now this summer. Isn't that great? Federal American Grill, where great food meets every occasion.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Ducky McSweeney's Pub. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Your mom's listening to Jeremy and Joe.
Wow.
We are live at Ducky McSweeney's.
Got him.
Having a good time. Hey, everybody's excited. Everybody's got the, what do we call these? Scarves?
Scarf?
I thought they're called something else, though.
I feel like there is like a soccer term for
them. I think there's a soccer term for them, yeah.
I don't know it, though.
I don't either. But they look good. We wear them good.
Huntington Bank, little Space City on here as well.
Yeah, thank you to the Huntington Bank for having us out to all these events during the World Cup. It's awesome. Get to hang out with the patrons, the supporters of all these countries. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be out tomorrow too, out in Edo. Going to be at By the Wayside. I love the name of that.
That's a great name.
So many great spots to watch soccer in Houston.
Absolutely.
So many great spots. But a little bit later, we will be giving away a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. You have to register to win. You don't have to be present to win, though. So take advantage of that. You're going to love it if you win it, because Republic Boot Company is awesome. Yeah, so I don't like this topic that you put in here. I'll be honest with you.
I love that he still let it be in so that he can bury you for it.
And it made the top four.
It's his topic.
Okay, so I read the The Athletic put out an article. It was the top 50 trade deadline candidates.
See, this is my bigger take than you putting this in here.
Okay.
You're just kind of the gateway to get to this take. Go on.
Well, no, it just made me think. They put there's a bunch of Astros in it, and they put Josh Hader in there in like the top 15. And it was just a name that we haven't discussed a lot because he's coming off injury. And we've talked about, you know, one, like, trade Pena at his peak value, but do you want Dana Brown to do it? But on the other side has been like Christian Walker and Isak Paredes, of guys whose contracts are coming up in the near future. And I feel like Hader kind of fits into both baskets, of where you can say, no, he's under contract for a good amount of time. He's a very, very good baseball player. So why trade him now? Should Dana Brown be allowed to trade a player of this quality? And the other side is, well, he makes a lot of money. And maybe you do want to shed that salary like you would want to do with Isak Paredes or Christian Walker. You'd be more open to trading them at the deadline compared to Pena. So I just didn't know what side of the basket he fell on for you.
So
what do you hate about it?
So I understand this is going to sound a little bit hypocritical, me talking out of both sides of my mouth. Like, I don't love conversations that aren't realistic. Like, yeah. I like to talk about scenarios, and I like to talk about how things could play out, and like, okay, if you're in this situation, how do you handle it? I'm all about that sort of hypothetical.
Yeah.
But I hate things that aren't realistic. And my bigger take, and this is why I hate your segment, it's not so much your segment, it's more why you put the segment in here. Because I saw the same thing with the Athletic.
Yeah, yeah.
They had their top 50 trade candidates. You've seen everybody do it. MLB Trade Rumors is going to have one. MLB is going to have one. They're all going to have one. And what I think is happening here is that they're putting the Astros players in their player pool, because their articles become a lot sexier whenever you put Jeremy Pena in there.
Yes.
To a lesser extent, Josh Hader, Christian Walker, Isak Paredes. They would love to throw Yordan Alvarez in there, because you see Yordan Alvarez, like, click. Just like you see Tarek Skubal, click.
Yeah.
Let's see what they have to say. But it's not realistic. The Astros are two games back in the American League West.
Yeah.
They're one game back from the wild card. Jim Crane, if we believe him, the window's always open. Dana Brown's in the final year of his contract. Dana Brown, I understand he's loose-lipped, and he says things that he doesn't always mean. He's like, we're not selling. We're going to be on the market for people. So I think adding Astros to any sort of trade player pool is disingenuous. And that's why I don't like, does Josh Hader fall more into the Pena or Walker trade category? Because I think he falls into the trade category where the Astros ain't selling.
Yeah, I will say, like, when I was going through the article, and they did like a red light, yellow light, green light thing, where it's like each player that they listed was red if this player is not going to get traded. And you're like, I think the first player on their list was a red. And it's like, well, why is this guy been on this list? Was my first takeaway from the article. And then there was the yellows and the greens, and all the Astros players were yellow. Pena, Hader, Paredes,
should be
Walker.
Bright. They should even be on the list. That's my bigger disdain for this, because I think it's incredibly unrealistic.
Yeah,
especially with the Astros have won four series in a
row.
Well,
I definitely got the vibe as I was going through it. Like, this was like a scheduled article that was written when this article might have been more timely.
Like, yeah, maybe.
Like, that's what I felt, but like. It's just more like, what are you going to do with Josh Hader? Like, if
you're going to keep him
for this year,
what do you mean?
What about long term?
There's a lot of uncertainty about long term, but I think they're going to keep him.
Okay. So at the deadline right now, is there anyone that you're? Is everyone staying put?
Yeah.
Even Brian Abreu.
Yeah.
What would you get? I mean, what would you
like? Why would you trade Brian Abreu?
Just to try to get some low-level prospect in return.
Why? I'd rather try to get Brian Abreu back.
Yeah, get him
like,
right.
Even if you can't get him right.
Yeah.
I'd rather attempt to get Brian Abreu right than to trade him from some C-level prospect that's never going to amount to anything.
That makes sense.
I do think that Brian Abreu has the potential to add value to this team this year if you can get him right. It seems far-fetched. It seems a far way away. But I think it's greater than having some C-level prospect that's more than likely never going to reach the bigs.
Okay, so let's I know you don't love hypotheticals.
No, I don't mind hypotheticals. I hate unrealistic things.
Okay, but let's walk down a hypothetical here. Let's say August 3rd comes up, and the Astros have stopped playing as well as they have recently, and they're five games back on deadline day.
Okay.
And that's still not like – you're still not out of it very clearly at that point in the season. And you're getting calls to get legit prospects in return for Josh Hader at that point. Is that someone of, yes, I'm willing to take the top prospect and shed the salary, or no, I don't trust Dana Brown – to make this trade, keep him on the roster, let the next GM decide.
If I'm selling, I have no problem selling Josh Hader.
Okay.
I just don't think they're going to be in the selling business.
I don't either.
And I would put him more in the – I'd put him halfway between Pena and Walker. Because he'd be the best closer on the market.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be the best closer on the market. So he wouldn't be Pena because Pena's a shortstop, position player. Under contract next year.
I mean, we saw Mason Miller get a ton of prospects.
Yeah, he's not Mason Miller.
No, he's not, but like...
But Aroldis Chapman's probably the best reliever on the market right now.
Oh, really?
Hader would be higher than Aroldis.
Oh, okay. I thought. Yeah, I mean, it's Hader's one, Aroldis would be two.
Yeah.
In the reliever market. And it'd be hard to, like, imagine those teams that are in top contention, like, that's the guy they're probably looking for more than a shortstop.
Yeah. This team is just not in the gear, though, of selling.
No, I think that
they're all systems go. They're foot's on the gas.
I didn't put this on there because I wanted to save it for this, but I think that this was my last sell question for the Astros this season. I think we're done with it after today. I think they're a buy-only team now.
I mean, they could play their way back into sell.
They could, but even then,
in the moment, I don't think it's realistic.
No, I think. Well, I mean,
even five
schedule.
Games back, like they're going to be so like, oh, we can figure it out. Yeah, they're probably too bullish. Really?
Well, I think that's the other thing too. It's like they probably think more of themselves than others do. You know, maybe they believe in all these guys coming back from injury that we don't believe in, but they might still for some reason.
Yeah,
I hope they don't.
What was it? This was the last one?
I think this will be the last sell topic. Everything else, I think, is buy at this point.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting middle grounds-ish we'll discuss later. But I that's where I saw this, the Athletic thing. I'm like, okay. They're sitting here putting Pena on here. They're putting Hader on here. They're putting Isak on here. They're putting Walker on here. Meanwhile, the Astros are two games back.
Yeah.
A game back of the wild card. Like, they have zero interest in selling. The GM literally told us they have no interest selling.
Yeah,
we're still having the conversation?
To be fair, he's also told us for 3 years he wants a left-handed outfielder.
And
so.
Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, Nationals for life.
I struggle with taking him
very,
for, like,
it's hard to take his word. Hard to take his word.
But this is one instance where I'm more inclined to believe him.
Yeah, I believe him here.
About buying or selling versus contracts.
Well, I mean, he's also the final year of his contract. To me, it's more about the action than the actual word.
But sure.
He did say it. Junkie, I'm hoping to trading Hader if we had someone confident enough to replace him in the ninth. We don't. The return would be great. It would help us refill the farm system with some high-level players. But at the end of the day, it sounds like Dana Brown with that. At the end of the day, Dana loves the end of the day.
He does.
If we're training one of the best closer trading. If we're training one of the best closers in the baseball, then we're going to ask who to fill that spot. I mean, we did get a few months without Hader, a couple of months without Hader, so we saw a little bit of it. It wasn't great. Within this division, I'm not too sure that there's a date that is too late and you start selling. You might be in it to the very last day of the season. I would agree. When you're halfway through the baseball season and below 500, why would you keep same lineup? Because you're two back of the division and one back of the wild card, and you feel like you're trending up. And they have won four series in a row.
And you're in a league that has, let's see, four teams above 500 right now. That's all that's in the American League.
Yeah.
There's the Yankees, the Rays, the White Sox, and the Guardians.
A few of those teams are barely above 500.
Yeah, I mean, the Guardians are 42-39, and the White Sox are 41-38.
Right. You could win this league. That the Astros could win the American League.
If there's games in Houston, Aaron Judge is going to choke. But, like, if he's not healthy, I think it makes the Yankees beatable.
Even if he is healthy, he stinks against good pitching.
You know, he does. I just don't know if the Astros have enough pitching to counter that. Right,
American League is abysmal.
Oh, it's wide open.
Junkie, here's my actual question. If the Astros are a bye team, he said B-Y-E, but I think he meant B-U-Y. But anyways, if the Astros are a bye team, can we potentially trade someone with a large salary like Christian Walker to improve the first base position? Wow. Also acquiring some prospects or shedding salary? No. No.
No, that's complicated.
Christian Walker would probably be the best first baseman on the market.
I would have to think so. Like,
there's not. No, you can't do that.
I wouldn't even know who else would be in contention for that, even though he's struggling right now. Plus, he's playing, his value is plummeting at
yeah,
the
it
moment.
Is. It is. He needs to get it back on track.
Yeah.
All right, 713-780-3776. When we come back, let's talk about the good and the bad from the Rockets draft last night. Landed Mr. Columbus, the all-time point scorer in Ohio State history. Also landed a two-way guy. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live from Ducky McSweeney's on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.